Hi, this is Jake, producer for The Drew Mariani Show. I'm excited to share an opportunity for our listeners to try one free month of streaming on PureFlix. PureFlix is a Hollywood movie studio that produces awesome Christ-centered movies.
Like God's Not Dead and Do You Believe?
Now, PureFlix offers a video on-demand streaming service with a library of movies the whole family can watch. Try your first month free today and make sure they know we sent you by visiting relevantradio.com/flix.
It's that time of year. It's Halloween week. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question about ghosts, cults, or demonic possession? You'll get some real Catholic answers right here. It's Halloween week. This is The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Yeah, we are closing in on Halloween. Good afternoon. And welcome. It's great to be back here with you. I really appreciate you, tuning in. If you're new to the broadcast, welcome. It's great to have you with us. I know that we have Houston and Boston and Atlanta and who else? San Antonio, Dallas, all joining the family. I don't think Houston's on yet. They're coming. We got more coming. So more great things. Welcome. If you are saying, hey, this show's kind of interesting, what's it all about? Well, I'm a current event news-driven show, and I look at life through the eyes of our faith, through a moral foundation. And it can be, covering anything from Halloween and whether or not we should Christianize it or participate in it to immigration and gun control to forming a good moral conscience for the elections, you name it. We take a look at all of those different issues here, and I think you'll appreciate what I do in the days ahead. I hope you'll tune in. I hope you'll join me. I'm going to give you a number now if you're new, and this goes for anyone. Stick this in your speed dial and use it. Feel free to join the conversation. It's 888-914-9149. I say that a lot, don't I? 888-914-9149. Feel free to dial in. We were just talking a little bit about Halloween. I know Halloween is coming up on Thursday, and I'll visit some other issues on that day as we get closer. But I know some neighborhoods are sending their kids out. You're trick-or-treating. You are decorating your home. You're going to Halloween parties this weekend, right? You getting ready for those? What kind of costumes are you going to wear? What about horror movies or haunted homes? Do you like to go through haunted homes? And I'm not talking really haunted homes. I'm talking about, hey, you go down to the you go downtown where they have set up some sort of horror home and you get scared. Is that okay? Or do you have a problem when they have pentagrams on the outside and people wearing goat horns and all sorts of other stuff, weird horns and having demonic overtones to it? Do spirits hover around these things? Do they in some way, are you in some way vulnerable? I'm going to speak to Father Michael Maginot coming up in a second. We'll get his take on it. But as we get closer to Halloween, you see a lot of horror glorified. Stores have skeletons. There are, ugly witches. Some of them are kind of cute and fun, right? I'm not, believe me, I'm not puritanical here. I believe in having fun and not seeing the devil under every rock. But then there are TV and movie theaters with all sort of horror movies that are out there. In theaters, It, Chapter 2, is really big right now. The Addams Family, walk into a big box store like Walmart, and they're being sold throughout the stores. Lots of different horror films, classics like Dracula and Frankenstein. They're pretty tame compared to what you now have, right? I mean, take a look at The Conjuring or Paranormal or some of these movies that, they kind of creep me out a little bit when they deal with the demonic. I don't like to entertain those. Something like, Friday the 13th or Chainsaw Massacre, that's more, blood and gore. The spiritual stuff is the stuff that I wonder about. There are 13 different sub-genres. Did you know that? 13 different sub-genres of the horror genre. 13 different ones. So it's one that's really dominant. I mean, people love it. People like to be scared, you may say, hey, I love it too. No problem with it. Does this type of stuff disturb your sleep? Does it disturb your spirit? Should we entertain these type of horror films? Here's my theory. Here's one of my theories on it. I tend to think when I was a kid, I used to love to watch horror films. I don't watch them anymore, especially the demonic ones. Those are the ones I don't like, the spirits, the conjuring, the possessions. Because I think Hollywood sometimes gives way too much power and credit to the evil one, more than he has. And you're left with that sense or that false reality. It's not always the case. I've spoken to other exorcists who, you know, when it comes to horror movies, they don't have a problem with them. You know, personally, I don't like the movie Ouija, you know, or Conjuring or some of the other ones I've mentioned. But he says that this one exorcist I spoke to said that horror movies can bring evil to light. And that's a good thing. You know, it's I wouldn't go so far, he says, to recommend them to people. But at the same time, you know, people are helped by recognizing what evil is. You know, take the movie The Exorcist, for example, right? I forget the name of this priest who said this. I can only remember his first name, Father Patrick something. He said that movie, when he saw it, right, he watched that classic film, The Exorcist. He credits that movie with inspiring him to eventually become an exorcist himself. Evil was evil. Good was good in the movie. There was no confusion. And I think that's where the problem comes, when we blur those lines when it comes to these type of horror movies. You know, evil was evil. Good was good. There's another movie out there, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I remember seeing that. And that's another great movie. I mean, you might not want to watch it. You might get afraid by it. But, you know, ultimately, good always conquers evil. God is infinitely more powerful than the evil one is. So let's talk about this today. You know, let's get into it. I'll take a few of your calls. It's 888-914-9149. That's your number to join the conversation. I'm joined right now by Father Michael Maginot. He's the pastor of St. Stephen Martyr Parish in Merrillville, Indiana. And I've had him on before. We've talked to him, and we'll probably talk to him again. He's conducted the exorcisms that eventually freed Latoya Ammon. You remember that? From possession? And she had a home. Her rented home was haunted, real life haunting in that case. And, you know, he tells us he's kind of a fan of the horror genre as well. And, Father, that's really great to hear. Welcome. It's good to have you here with me. I'd love to get your sense of everything from Halloween to horror movies and these spooky haunted houses. So good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
So fill me in. So you're a fan of horror movies?
Well, I do like probably the ones you don't like, the ones that deal with the demonic and spirits and ghosts and things. But I usually am disappointed at the end of them because it does have a Hollywood slant on them, which always seems to want to make the demons look, or the devil look, you know, all powerful, and the church is impotent before them, and, you know, the priests are being thrown around like rag dolls, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, which is not the reality. But there is a reality, you know, so demons are real. And so I'm always hoping to get a realistic take on it. Well, like The Exorcism of Emily Rose is probably the closest.
That's good.
That the right to was also a very, very close to. They do change the names and places and all that stuff, but they are based on real situations. The Exorcist, you know, is a little bit Hollywoodish, though. Because you have the priest being killed, you know, one of the priests being killed in it. So that's not really happened. And then things beyond that are impossible physically, like a head turning around. You know, that's, you know, that it won't do that, but it will. But there are, you know, outside of those things, I always kind of hope for something that will present something most realistically. And usually find that disappointing that it doesn't.
I'm curious, Father. I got to ask you because, you know, I mean, you've battled evil. You've seen the reality of it, and you're right. Heads don't spin around, but sometimes the possessed exercise, you know, superhuman strength, or they walk up walls backwards, or they vomit out frogs or nails or things along those lines.
That is real.
So I'm surprised.
So the levitations and all that.
You know,
that's true.
So now that, you know, because you are an exorcist, has your fear of these horror movies or things, has it diminished because you've really seen evil for what it is? Or was there a time where they kind of spooked you? I mean, how's becoming an exorcist changed your view of evil?
Yeah, there's one thing you do know is that the demon will like to make you think that they're all powerful, but they do have limits.
Yes.
You know, so they can't do more than what God allows them to do, but we can empower them, you know, to do certain things. But one thing they cannot do is kill someone directly,
right.
Though they can torment someone to the point that they may want to commit suicide or kill someone. But that's still their free will. It takes over parts of your body, so it might levitate you or make you contort or, make different things appear on your body and things like that. But it can't take over your will.
Let me ask you about Halloween, haunted homes, and movies, because this is a big weekend for all those. People go to parties. When a child dons the outfit of whatever costume they're in, a witch, a ghost, they kind of take on that identity. Is it a problem, dressing occultic for Halloween? Is it a problem? Let me start with that first. And your take on Halloween itself, because there's several online. Let me grab one of these calls, too, who say that, you shouldn't celebrate Halloween because, do we have that Satanist call on there, Jake? Here we go. Let me go to Hope in Orlando, Florida. We'll bring her into the conversation as well. She might make this point. Hope, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to participate and going to relate to you the information that I received this week on YouTube. There was an ex-satanist. He explained it, why kids should not participate at all during this time in Halloween. One of the reasons is because indirectly we are participating in the New Year's of the Satanics. October 31st is the New Year's, and they use the meaning of the pumpkin is the heads of the kids that they are going to sacrifice that day for the Black Mass.
Well, Hope, I'll tell you what. Let me just hold you on a point. I wanted to bring your point up. She's saying there's a YouTube video out there by an ex-Satanist saying don't participate in Halloween, and then she's going to share some of the other aspects of it. But just give me your take on this. This is a high holy day for the occult, for Satanists, and for witches, right? There's a lot of conjuring and spells and things that go on here on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your take on that, and you heard her comments about, a Satanist saying, hey, you shouldn't participate in it. Does it come down to intentionality and really what your intention is? But why don't you respond to Hope and address that?
Yeah, most definitely. There could be that danger because it is their day. It's like their most holy day or unholy day, however you want to refer to it. And so it can go into the grotesque. But I would say most kids trick-or-treating and things, as long as parents are with them, there should be no danger to the children. Again, it's, make sure they cross the street,
right.
If they have dark costumes and all that kind of stuff. So for their safety and such. So there should be a caution. There was a time, I know even when I was a child and trick-or-treating, we had to watch out for things that were, like apples, razor blades and apples and things like that. But I never experienced anything like that. But but as far as, I would say as far as the children being involved, I think the parents would keep it from, going to a dangerous situation.
The danger a lot of parents face today. It's no longer razors and apples that you and I may have faced. It's edibles, it's injecting, drugs into some of the candies that are out there, which is unfortunate. Sue's listening in Portland, Oregon. She wants to join the conversation. Father, hi, Sue.
Hello.
Hi, Sue. You're on. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about my friend whose daughter wants to be dressed up as Hermione from Harry Potter.
Okay.
So my daughter goes to a Catholic school, and she has a plaid uniform, which resembles kind of the school uniform of the Harry Potter school.
Right.
So she was asking me to borrow, asking me if I could borrow the dress for her kid. So I was just wondering, I just came to know about Harry Potter objection. So just wondering if I should borrow or should
Good question. Let's let Father respond. Father, two things here. One, she's asking, hey, can her daughter dress up as one of the characters in Harry Potter? So do you have any concern with Harry Potter at all? And then secondly, should she allow her 8-year-old daughter, who wants to dress up as that, and go into that type of costume, or should she dress as something else?
Yeah, I think that's usually fairly harmless entertainment. But again, if the child is getting very intrigued by, you know, doing magic and spells and learning the Latin, because those are usually Latin things, and he's and they're kind of getting, you know, deeper into that, it can be a gateway to deeper involvement in the occult. But as long as it's just entertainment, right, and, you know, they're dressing up as the characters, I usually don't see too much harm. Again, it's, you know, the parents keep an eye on what their children are doing. And right, as long as they don't want to do magic spells and, right, you know, get deeper into things, which probably more as teenagers you might have to watch out for, because it can be a gateway to doing things like witchcraft or magic, not the entertainment magic.
That's the biggest objection to
it. Occult magic.
Does it lead them into the world of magic, so to speak? Cato's listening in St. Petersburg, Florida. Sue, thank you for your call. Hi, Cato. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Kate. Hi there. Okay, well, I've got a comment about Halloween, right? It's a very interesting subject. I'm 55 years old. I did the trick-or-treating back in the years, right, but, yeah, up in New York, where I'm originally from. I've been noticing, really, in the past 25 years, this growing anti-Christian feeling to everything. And Halloween is a victim. Because before, if Halloween was a simple type of holiday, it was like a masquerade. It was, okay, simple spooks.
Right.
But those spooks were still scary. Or the Caspers and you know, Frankenstein and Dracula. But really, it's not really about the candy. The candy is a treat to the kids, of course. But you know, we're being fed with this gore. We're being fed, look what's going on television. Look at all these anti... everything that used to be positive feels like it's now negative. Everything that used to be negative seems to be positive. There's skulls everywhere. There's a brand with skulls. Everyone's wearing skulls. They're putting skulls on cars. I mean, this is like almost, I don't know. I get feeling that to be a Christian today in the United States is to be mocked at. And no one's really talking about it. It's very limited. Hollywood is, I hate to say it, it seems like it's all under control, under one interest. And be it politics or not, it's all this anti.
Yeah, okay.
And I visited Russia a year or 2 years ago, and I was freaked out. I could not understand. It was right around Halloween as well.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking, you know, is there any Halloween here? Well, of course, it's not a Russian holiday. They're very against it. They don't want. They say this is not a Russian holiday. We don't want anything to do with this,
okay,
right? And they've got the right. But the bars and so on, they go on with it. So,
okay,
you know, there you see the Christianity is growing. Here it's on a negative. Anyway, that's my point.
Cato, thanks. Let me let Father Maginot respond to you. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah, I think there's certain fun type of things, you know, provide, you know, like haunted houses that would try to scare you, but I think, you know, they always kind of know that the liability, you know, to go overboard. So I kind of remember those things, as you know, especially for teenagers and such, to kind of be scared by that. But sometimes it does seem to go a little bit overboard, and where it does seem to be a chance to introduce an unsuspecting person into the occult world with things like that. So, and also I remember, yeah, the time where, you know, like lawn displays and such were really almost freaky, you know, scary, you know, trying to be a haunted house, you know, on the block type of thing. And I thought that was kind of getting overboard. Now I think I kind of see a backing off from that. There's probably, it's more like they're trying to make it like Christmas, and, you know, so that the displays are not as grotesque or haunted. There's a lot more lights, you know, orange and, lights and things, but, you know, not necessarily. I remember, you know, as a kid, you know, the skeletons and jack-o'-lanterns and all that kind of stuff. But, I guess there's always, where does it kind of cross the line? And where can it just be fun and entertainment? There's a fine line there. And
well, let's do this, Father. Let's move along. Cato, thank you. I think you brought up an interesting perspective. I didn't realize that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of countries that don't celebrate it, but I know there are many that do. Dr. Robert Bailey is listening in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Doctor, thanks for joining the conversation. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, go right ahead, Doc.
Well, my question is, could The Exorcist, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, I have rather poor reception here. I wonder if you could briefly touch on how an exorcism is initiated. Who makes the decision? Is it the bishop? Is it the individual priest? Is there a provision in canon law? I realize that's a complicated question, but I was wondering if you could just give us a brief synopsis.
That's great. So what's the protocol in getting an exorcism done? Psychiatric evaluation first? What happens? You take us through it, Father Maginot.
Yeah, I usually, first of all, always meet with the person themselves or the family, and just see, you know, talk to them to see what the whole situation is. And I usually try to do that at their home, and I always bring enough things to bless the home if need be. And if it seems like there's a further thing that needs to be done, I also have associate who comes to do some tests. There's a couple tests that kind of bring out a demonic presence if it's there. And if we see a manifestation, then I usually try to go to the next step is a deliverance, which is kind of more of a charismatic way of getting rid of a demon. But if it resists that, then you have to take the case to the bishop to authorize a major exorcism. So I then have to present that to the bishop.
All right. Robert, that help?
And yes,
then,
it does.
But also, the bishop used to request, and then it's at that point to get a psychological and make sure there's no psychological or medical problem too. So, but I don't do that first. I think it turns a lot of people off that they think you know, they're crazy and such. So I'd rather get involved with the person and trying to solve the problem at a lesser level. But then when it comes to finally getting approval for an exorcism, then to get the psychological and medical data to the bishop at that point.
All right, sounds great. Hey, doctor, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, and I appreciate the information.
All right. And you know, it's an interesting it really is an interesting topic that he brought up. And maybe we'll dedicate a show to exorcism in general, how you identify it, whether or not spirits can cause affliction, physical and mental, and, you know, ultimately how the church views all that. But let me go back to the phones. We'll grab a few more calls. Marcy's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. I've zoned out. Marcy, welcome. It's good to have you with us today. I think we're having some
kind of a question.
Marcy, you know what? We're having just a little bit of the phones are acting a little wacky. Why? Because we're probably talking Halloween, the occult, exorcisms, things like that. Give me a minute. We're going to we'll take your calls. We just got to reset here for you, okay? And if you want to join us, I'll open the phones. We'll take Father Maginot and take more of your calls on the other side. We're talking Halloween, the practice of it by Catholics, and whether or not we should. Also, is it okay to watch horror movies? Is it okay to go through haunted homes? There are some that say, yeah, no problem. It's great. In fact, Father Maginot, who is an exorcist, thinks that they're a good thing. You know, they can make you aware of the reality of evil. I have a problem with them if I think they cross the line and they become they, you know, they begin to glorify evil and give it too much credibility. And I think that's the problem with it. Jake put a poll up on Twitter. And Jake, why don't you reset that poll very quickly?
All right. Do you think it's okay to celebrate Halloween? Let us know on Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. And Drew, so far, 74% of people on Twitter saying yes, they think it's okay to celebrate Halloween. Let us know what you think.
We'll talk more. We'll also talk horror films. If I have a chance, I might tell you about the exorcism of Emily Rose. That was a very interesting story. A true story, too. Stay with me. I'm back right after this.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here. And several years ago, I became acquainted with a saint who has become a favorite of mine. He was canonized a few years ago, and his name is Saint Luigi Guanella. He died on this day in the year 1915. He founded two communities to serve the developmentally disabled, the poor, and the abandoned. One of them was for men, the Servants of Charity, and the other was for women called the Daughters of Saint Mary of Providence. It was the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that motivated him, and so it's no surprise that in the first church he built, he had a large statue of the Sacred Heart prominently displayed. A contemporary of his wrote the reason for this as follows. He wanted to show that people must not seek comfort except in this divine and compassionate heart, who, living in this world, felt a lively pity for the poor and the unfortunate, the poor residents who are sick and afflicted, more in heart than in body, since it is the heart that resents the strokes of bad fortune. It is the heart that gives them the greatest torment. So there was a need of a heart to cure them and to give them the lost peace. Father Guanella wanted to procure consolations for his residents and to give them a heart which is the source of every consolation. He wanted to procure mercy for them and gave them a heart essentially merciful. He wanted to give them a father, a friend, a lover, and he gave them the heart of Jesus, who is not only the father and friend of the poor, but puts himself in their place. What you do to the poor, he said, you do to me. That statue raised in the new church seems to say to all who pass through this blessed door, these poor, these aged, these sick people, these unfortunate ones are my children. Do good to them, and I will give you a reward.
Relevant Radio accepts donations of unwanted vehicles. The process is easy, free, and it helps keep Relevant Radio rolling. More information at 888-906-9069 or relevantradio.com.
The Drew Mariani Show. It's Halloween week. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Don't play with us, Daddy.
Can you be a Catholic and believe in ghosts? Get connected to this and more. It's Halloween week.
All right, we're talking a little bit about Halloween, talking about, well, everything, really. Haunted houses and whether or not you should see dark, occultic-type movies, horror movies, even exorcism. My guest is Father Michael Maginot, and he's been a great contributor to the program over the years. He has been involved in exorcism, and he's been involved in freeing a lot of people. And it's great to have him with me this afternoon. You might remember the story, the exorcism that eventually led to LaToya Amon. He conducted those exorcisms. She was possessed. She was in a rented home. That thing was incredibly possessed or haunted as well. Right now, he's pastor of St. Stephen Martyr Parish in Merrillville, Indiana. And we'll take more of your calls. You can join us, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. A lot of people see Halloween as a time of year when satanic activity increases. A lot of intense rituals go on. And a lot of people think that as Catholics and Christians, we really should not entertain this. Although, you know, the actual day, Halloween, is All Hallowed Eve. And, of course, we celebrate All Saints Day followed by All Souls Day. And I just thought, hey, look, we need balance in life. Let's talk about this. And, of course, we'll take your calls and your questions. Is it okay to go into haunted homes? Is it okay to watch horror movies? Father says, yeah, for him, he's fine with it. There are some who say the films serve, to make you aware of evil. Scripture warns us not to imitate evil and that around us. So does these do these practices, haunted homes and movies and shows like this, do they desensitize us to the reality of these horrors? And should you entertain it? We'll take your calls, questions, and comments. John is listening in Minnesota. John, you're on the air with Father Maginot. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. See, I have kind of an awkward question. It's been something I've been worrying and wondering about for a while, but it's something that's really awkward to even talk to people about. I believe I've been battling demonic intervention or demonic, whatever that's called, interference for quite some time. And I've the upside is my faith life has improved tremendously because I'm a twice a week going to church and I go to confessional on time. And that's the last part of me. I love it. And my prayer life is fantastic. And I've started fasting. I've been fasting twice a week and offering it up as mortification for someone else. My family life has been destroyed. My business has been destroyed. I've pretty much lost everything. But I've gained my salvation. So it's bittersweet, right? I've lost all the material goods, but I've gained my salvation. And now I'm fighting for the salvation for my children. Okay. But I believe my ex-wife may be possessed or having problems. You know, and I still love her. She's the mother of my children, and I care for her deeply. But how do you know whether somebody is just mental illness, you know, whack job or possessed?
Right, great question.
And the reason I think it's demonic is the more I pray, the more hatred and the more vitriol, you know, the more the attacks. I mean, it's become physical now. She's gone to physically attacking me and making really, really strange threats.
Okay. Well, hey, John, thank you for calling. I'll keep you on the line, but I'll let Father respond to you. Father, how do you discern that? That's a great question. He's not alone.
Yeah, that's probably where it would be good to contact a priest who deals with this in your local area, if it was Minnesota, and someone who, you know, will kind of hear the whole story, and you try to get down to when all this kind of stuff started, and, you know, is a person, you know, that could be, you know, because curses are a reality too, and, you know, and people into the occult can come to do that, and when they turn, you know, when there is a loss of the relationship, a lot of times someone capable of, you know, into doing curses and things like that can seek revenge that way. And,
she has admitted to using Ouija boards when she was a child.
And all that, okay.
I never understood. I mean, you know, I never understood that how those, I mean, I never did that, but I knew people that did, but, I never understood until I've been listening to these on the radio. Right? It's been another one of the best things that's ever happened in my life as I discovered that.
It's awesome.
But now I'm understanding these gateways and these doorways, and I see it more clearly. But it's something that you really can't discuss openly with people because they think you're a complete whack job. And that's painful.
No,
I want to be honest.
Yeah, it does happen. And you know, so it is a priest who's kind of familiar with all these types of things can work to kind of break those things.
So you recommend I'm sorry, Father. I didn't want to step in. I was just saying your recommendation for John then is to find a priest who can deal with this?
Yes, locally. So if he wanted to, you know, he could talk to me on the phone separately, and, you know, I could try to get to the bottom of what it all started, but that's about as far as I could go. I do talk to a lot of people on the phone to try to.
Well, I would appreciate some direction offline.
Yeah,
that would be great. Mm-hmm. I appreciate some direction offline just to get local connections, and I can take it from there.
Hey, John, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold. Jake or Lucas will give you Father's number, and Father, is the number that we have for you okay to give?
That would be fine.
All right,
yeah.
So we'll give
that'd
be good. And then, you know, your own diocese has exorcists, and they can certainly help you as well, John. And clearly what you're saying would, you know, I think you got some legitimate concern there. You can follow up. So we'll give you Father's number. You can contact him as well. All right, let's jump to our next call. Federico is listening in San Antonio. We've been on that stationed there for about a week now, and it's good to have Federico with us. Federico, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, I used to listen to 11:60. It's more like a talk show kind of program.
Yep.
But I'm glad we got some Christian radio on there.
Amen.
I don't agree with Halloween because it focuses on evil and the macabre. And, you know, as kids, we would see a movie and we would imitate, you know, like games like Spin the Bottle and what have you. Or whatever, you know, Fast and the Furious, everybody was spinning. And kids or immature people or ignorant people see this and they try to imitate and invoke whatever the movie is showing. And it may be invoking something that may open the doors to some real stuff that's really demonic. And it's just something that I don't, because kids are going to be exposed to it, and people have no better sense, and they try to imitate everything they see. And it just focuses on the macabre, and it's just right. No good.
Hey, thank you, Federico. Good to hear from you. Keep it set here. You'll enjoy the programming you get in the days ahead. Father, I'll let you respond. He says, look, Halloween is dangerous, and it can lead people down the wrong path. You heard his comments, so... How do you respond to that? I think you need balance in life, personally, but there are many people who think, hey, Halloween should not be practiced as Christians. Other people dive all in and celebrate, and they dress up as devils and sexy witches and Satan, you know, whatever. So I think there's a safe middle ground, but I'll let you expound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm usually not up for banning it or, you know, prohibiting it, because, you know, especially with children, that it they're going to seek it and find it outside. I'd rather have parental, you know, guidance be involved, especially with the younger children and such, and also for teenagers, you know, for parents to kind of, you know, see where their, you know, children are going, that it stays at a entertainment balance level and doesn't get into any kind of obsession and such. And then, when it does kind of go into that level, then, then probably the foot should be put down, that it's
gotcha.
It's heading a person in the wrong direction. But as long as it doesn't really affect them that much, you know, they see it, you know, maybe get the whatever, the thrill, the adrenaline and endorphins and all that kind of stuff. And but then, you know, it doesn't become addicting or, you know, obsessive in any way, you know, they can move on with their life, and you know then it's just you know, if there's the balance, not to worry too much about it.
All right, my guest today, Father Michael Maginot. He is a very gifted priest and an exorcist, has been involved in a number of those. And if you just joined us, we're talking Halloween, we're talking basically haunted homes and movies, and the phones are open, so any question really goes right now. I know a lot of you may be celebrating Halloween this weekend, or going to Halloween parties, or going through haunted homes, or going out to see a horror movie. I just thought we'd explore the possibility. How, you know, is it safe? Is it good? Is there spiritual grit that gets rubbed off? Should we stay away from those things? We'll take your calls and comments. Vancouver, Washington is on deck. Barbara, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Hey, Father. I just had a couple comments. I was listening to a YouTube, too, the other day. It might be that what the other gal was listening to. It, and an ex-Satanist was saying there's a huge heightened energy around Halloween time. And I will say that a couple times in my life, actually, as recently as last week, I had two pedicure, the things you put on your feet to take away the dead skin, mm-hmm. they're battery operated. There were two of them that went off in the middle of the night in my closet.
Wow.
About 5 years ago, my garbage disposal, which has a switch, went off. And we were carving pumpkins, and then no one was in the kitchen. Just a couple years ago, and the garbage disposal switch went up,
that's
and
freaking.
No one was in there. And I thought that's, and I thought, okay, let's. I'm an attorney. I'm pretty smart. But I'm like, what the? I thought, wait a minute. So I would say, just be aware. There is certainly a heightened energy. I'm not saying don't decorate your house for Halloween, because I do that too. But I also have the holy water. I have the holy oil. Because I think I'm, you know, the demonic realm is right there, and I do think things get thinned a little bit. I do.
Yeah.
And there's no other explanation why those things went off. So it's very strange.
Barbara, I'm in your camp. I kind of share your view. And Father, maybe you can address that. How does a switch get flipped? How do these things go off in the middle of the night? I mean, is there something spiritual behind that?
Yeah, there would be something spiritual. And I would definitely call, you know, your local pastor. You could always bless the house. And if the things get aggravated, you know, intensified. Yeah, it's probably the call the diocese to send their local exorcist to check out the house, you know, with further blessings and things to, you know, to see, mm-hmm. To remove, because those are extraordinary phenomena, and they can be removed.
Well, actually, not only interrupt you, Father, but actually, these are two different homes, and so, and one was a few years ago. So these are two different homes I'm talking about. So I'm not concerned about that. Right. That it needs the exercise, but I would just say I think everyone should be aware that when you decorate for Halloween, when you do, there is a heightened energy. The demonic realm is a little more right there. So I would say, you know, definitely use that sacramental. Use yep. The holy water is not a joke. Metals are not a joke.
I agree.
They hate that.
Barbara, I love your attitude.
People do use, you know, that's recommended to use those things first. But sometimes it does aggravate the situation. So
really?
not to be afraid to call the church for further help. But sometimes it's just those things that holy water or a Benedictine medal or whatever will drive it away. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be a simple thing, you know, if something did,
well,
kind of invite it in.
Both of these things happen around this. Both of these items happen, these times, these episodes happen at Halloween time. The first time with the garbage disposal, we were carving pumpkins. I clearly remember it was Halloween time. And this was last week. So this isn't happening like in the middle of the summer or 4th of July. This is Halloween. These two things happening. So I'm not concerned about it. I don't care about demons. We are way stronger than they are with God. However, I just want to mention we're talking about Halloween today.
Yep.
And around this time, let's all be more aware. That's all.
I just love your attitude. I really do, because you're so right. You don't fear the stuff. You know that you know, God is infinitely more powerful, and I love your attitude. I'm the same way. I've seen bizarre things happen too, Father, but I believe so much in the power of sacramentals and blessed objects, just as they, you know, can be these conduits, you know, to bring down protection and grace. So can occultic things. If you have them in your home, I believe they work in reverse of sacramentals. They can draw evil. There was a woman I know who had a Ouija board in her home. I don't know whether she was playing with it or not. The home burned down. This entire home burned down.
Oh,
and when I saw photos of this home, right, the only thing that survived this home was her closet. It was the bizarrest thing. When they opened the closet door, sitting on the top shelf was a Ouija board. And I'm like, what? I don't understand how that survived. You know, but I see these connections. God's grace and the power of the church and the sacramentals, important stuff to put into play. But you also have got to make sure you don't entertain this stuff and glorify it. I think that's where the danger is. Hey, I need to take a short pause. When we come back, David in Lexington, Kentucky has a really interesting question. Curses. He wants to know about curses. Are they the result of demons or the devil themselves? Where does this power originate when one curses another, and how do you protect yourself? We'll get you plugged into that more when I return to this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio. Stay with us. It's Halloween week.
The programming on Relevant Radio is brought to you in part by the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, offering undergraduate degrees along with scholarships for freshmen. More info at cometomary.com.
The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Get connected to this and more. It's Halloween week. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It is, man. We'll be celebrating Halloween before you know it. And then All Saints and Souls Day. We got great programming coming up for you next week. Today, I thought we'd kick it off. As I know your weekend is about to begin, you might be going to a Halloween party or watching some horror movies or going through a haunted home. I'm joined by Father Michael Maginot, and we're tapping into his expertise. He has conducted exorcisms that led to and eventually freed LaToya Amon from possession and her rented house from haunting. And also, he serves as a pastor of the St. Stephen Martyr Parish in Merrillville, Indiana. Say a prayer for him, and we'll get plugged in. The poll, Jake, let's give everyone an update on that before we go back to the calls. The Twitter poll, you asked what?
So if you go to our Twitter page, it's at Drew Mariani Show. The question you'll see there at the top of the page is, should Catholics celebrate Halloween and allow kids to dress up? And 77% of Twitter respondents saying, yeah, it's okay to celebrate Halloween.
There you go. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll grab a few more calls. David, before I go to David, David, thank you for your patience. Father and I were talking off air. I'll just share a little bit of our conversation because, you know, so many people don't have access to it. You know, we're running a break there. And you and I were talking about drugs. And I said, you know, I know drugs are a portal. They open the door to demonic influence at times. And I said, with so many states now coming on with legalized marijuana, do you think that that would open more people to demonic oppression or obsession or possibly even possession? And Father, you shared with me something interesting to share with everyone else. You say that these drug cartels, these gangs, they curse this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens there? Tell everyone about that.
Ritualized things in our gang and getting initiated and continuing things to pretty much bring in the working of the devil into their lives and such. With intention. So that's part of the gang related culture.
And then they curse the drugs. And, you know, a lot of times they do that so people will be addicted or other things will happen.
Yeah.
So dangerous stuff. Speaking of curses, it's a good segue into David, who's listening in Lexington, Kentucky. David, thanks for joining us.
Yes. I've had a series of very unfortunate events happen to me over a number of years. And just like a jinx is on me. Everything I try to do blows up in my face. And people regard me in low opinion. And I think I got it from hanging around people I thought were demon-possessed many years ago. And it's had a series of luck that's bad. Even though I'm a Christian, I can't seem to shake it.
Okay.
So what should I do about that?
Yeah, that's probably another thing, because you got to kind of get back into the history on who would have done, you know, is capable of doing these kind of things and such. And it usually involves an object that either you discovered missing that was close to you, or they give you something that you think, you know, that you seem to treasure. And so where they do tie a demon to that object, and as long as they're interested in getting at you, they use their magic and different
their object,
spells and things that they learn, you know, from whatever source to do that. And it's just by befriending a person capable of that, where they can create a relationship by that object, either as a gift given or taken, that is a source of many things, many dark things. So it's probably always to be aware of people who are into this kind of stuff. You got to keep your distance from befriending them.
So, Father, in terms of David, you know, if he's been cursed, how does he break the curse? If somebody else has, you know, I know a lot of Italians wear they have the malocchia, they have the, you know, the evil eye, they have those, you know, they wear these medallions and things along those lines. How do curses work, and how do these occult or pagan amulets work to bring this negativity? Or, you know, who does the cursing? Who has is it the demons behind that? How does it work?
Yeah, a demon has to be invited in, and so then the curse is an invitation in. But the person who's doing this has to be, you know, into the occult, which is kind of the demonic inventions, you know, their ways that kind of been shown to people and handed down, how to do these things, do attach demons to objects that become the connection to do extraordinary things to a person.
All right. Let me stick another call. Time's the enemy. I wish I had more hours to spend with everyone, but just a few minutes. Flynn is listening in Los Angeles, California.
Hey.
Hi, Flynn.
Hey there. I'm a Catholic layperson, and I got exposure to all this stuff growing up in New Orleans, which I'm telling you is the most haunted city in the country. And I was exposed to everything. So I came out to L.A., and I, you know, due to people asking me, what do I do? This is happening in my home. This is happening to my teenage daughter. Can you help me? And I call up priests, and they're like, we don't have a priest that does exorcism or deliverance, or, you know, we are too busy to come to the house. And are they Catholic? Because if they're not Catholic, we're not doing this. So I'm like, oh, forget it. So I go to the priest, and I say, can you just give me some holy water then? I end up going in. Stuff flies, or, you know, the fan blows up or lights go on and off. And I just say, hey, you guys, something is wrong. We need to get somebody in here, or we need to get them prayed over. So again, I call another priest, and he's 3 months booked because there were so few exorcist priests. They're all old and they're not current. You know, the Vatican is desperate. They have to go through school at the Vatican and everything. So I end up going to pastors. God bless these pastors, and I call around, and I call around, and I try like crazy to get help. I end up doing some of this work, or it gets pretty scary with some of them. They need, like, pastors that are so used to dealing with, you know, like a teenager who levitates or in her dreams. She's actually speaking in tongues because the parents called in something evil in their home, or just the kids are acting out. Little kids who aren't protected or didn't get baptized are acting out like little monsters. And I accidentally didn't even realize I was doing an exorcism on a kid. And
Deliverance. Father, we only have a minute and a half. Flynn, I'm going to hold you on that point. I wish we had more time. I'd love to hear your story. There is a difference between deliverance and exorcism, so maybe you can highlight that and then give us final thoughts. I only have about a moment for him.
Yeah, a deliverance is a more charismatic, you know, it's like a prayer through prayer and fasting and in more spiritual inspiration to attack the demon, demand it to go out, and using different sacramentals and things like that, which sometimes works. But also it could aggravate the demon to become angry, and then if that's the case, then you need a church sanction.
Well, Father, I want to thank you for your time. Maybe we'll revisit more of this conversation next week. I am grateful for all that you do. Pray for us, and I'm going to ask everyone listening to pray for you. Okay, Father, have a great weekend. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Drew.
That's Father Michael Maginot. I'm Drew Mariani, out of time for the day. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I'm praying for you. Have a great weekend.